Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Elkanen.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep. Spencer Israel, Joel Elkanen. Dennis Dick with you this morning. Not much in the way of macro news overnight. We do have a bunch of earnings to talk about. No real huge names, but enough names that we know of, like BP. We'll talk about Virgin Galactic made $0 in revenue, not earnings, revenue last quarter. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the day that ADT had yesterday. We can talk about how the story heated up again in the electric vehicle stocks yesterday. So we got some stuff today, even though we have no real macro headlines on our radar. Our guest today is Andrew Channon. He's the co-founder and CEO of Procure AM. He runs the space ETF, ticker is UFO. So good day to have him on. We'll talk about Virgin Galactic with Andrew as well when he comes on at 8:35. Don't forget to hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. We appreciate that. And I will throw it to Joel now, who will give us an update on what exactly has gone down here in the overnight trading session. Joel.
What's gone down, Spencer, is the S&P 500 stock index futures. Potential double top here, 97.75. That was your pre-market, after-hours high, whatever you want to call it. That was a couple points above your high from yesterday at 95.5, so stopping just shy of that 3,300 level. Thought they might jam some stops. We continue to just drift lower here, making new lows in the pre-market session, below the intraday low from yesterday. Let's make some easy targets here. We have Monday's Globex low at 54.75. So really, that's really your next area of support, about 17 handles away. But you can see right now, pretty much down here over the last couple hours. Crude giving back what it made yesterday. That's trading down 71 cents at 40.30. Still on the daily, though, just kind of hanging out at 40 bucks. Gold still flirting with the close over 2,000. That's up 390 at 1990.20. Silver, a little bit quiet for silver here, up just about a penny here at 24.42.5, let's call it. And Bitcoin can't clear that $12,000 hurdle. A couple highs, 11.6, 11.8, currently down $310, 11,310. Triple D, a sinking market we have in our hands here. Was there any indications at that 8 o'clock close that we were going to have a little weakness today?
No, not really. So what are we attributing the weakness here to overnight? Do we have a catalyst here? Overseas markets? Just a little bit of profit taking after the massive run we've seen in Apple. I mean, there's a lot of reasons. COVID. COVID cases climbing again over there, Spencer. What do you got?
Actually, they're not.
No, they're not.
Yeah,
we've stabilized. We haven't discussed flattening the curve.
But the 7-day moving average of new cases has been going down.
Curve is flattening. People getting a little bit safer in some of these southern states. That's good news.
That's good news. For sure, yeah.
So looking here, I mean, you're still in a very clear uptrend. Is there any reason to get bearish here when stocks are all breaking out? I think it's a pullback to buy. I've been saying, you know, and obviously it's been correct. Every pullback's been another buying opportunity, except in obviously some of the stocks. But you know what? Even some of the reopening stocks started to get some life yesterday. Maybe we should start with Boeing, because Boeing has been going straight down in the last month, despite the market going straight up. Complete separation we've been talking about from technology to the reopening plays. But you look here at Boeing and you think, wow, some life yesterday, because that was actually a key reversal yesterday. Look at me and my technical analysis there, Joel. Stock made a new low and then closed and made a new high. So there you are. So key reversal for Boeing. Boeing actually trading in the green once again here this morning. So you are seeing a little bit of rotation, sneaky rotation from technology into some of the reopening plays. You are seeing that. And you saw that yesterday too. That started because obviously you saw the rip and rally in Apple right in the morning where everybody was chasing. And then it kind of cooled off for the rest of the day. And the S&Ps were starting to rotate from a little bit of tech from value. Now, every time it has done that rotation, it's only lasted for a couple of days. So I would say it started yesterday, and it is following through here a little bit this morning.
With the Boeing, I mean, there's always bounces in stocks, right? We're trading up 88 cents, not a lot. That key reversal you talked about. Boy, oh boy, I'm seeing a couple highs in the same area here. Let's see, over the last 3 days, 164. I'd be a believer over 164 and a half today. We're up 68 cents, 164.55 is your three-day high. Then it opens up to 173, but it just, you know, maybe a little seller's exhaustion here. You know, people have sold and sold and sold. Big. Nice volume day yesterday, 38 million versus 30. So it has a shot. And, well, worst case, you got a number to lean on, that 153.41. I think if you're doing a swing trade in this, you got to give it, what, 6, 8, 10 points the way
you
it gotta
moves.
You
got to give it to the low at least.
Yeah, you got
to
give it to
I'd give it to the low of the move, 153.41 now.
Yeah, but so. What about American Airlines? How's that doing? Is that showing any signs of life here?
I think all of them yesterday, and I don't think it was quite the key reversal. I don't think we made a new high. We just barely missed it, it looks like, if I'm just looking at my chart correctly, by a couple of cents. But, yeah, you know what? I would argue that a little bit of life. I'm not saying it's a turnaround story, but I think the flattening of the curve that Spencer was talking about 2 minutes ago, coupled, you know, with a lot of people just looking for a place to put money, says, hey, these reopening stocks are pretty cheap. And you know what? If we're flattening the curve again, we saw a flattening the curve wicked rally in all the reopening stocks. And the wild card is the vaccine. So you are seeing a little bit of, you know, sneaky buyers here. Kohl's showing a little bit of life yesterday, not trading down here this morning. So, and, you know, IWM. I mean, let's just talk, you know, because this covers a lot of the stocks. We've obviously been tracking IWM versus the Qs and the major underperformance that IWM has had. But you're butting up against major resistance here in IWM too. You get over 150.
Yeah.
Maybe some of the smaller reopening plays are going to start to show some life again. So, could try them for some swing trades. Every time I seem to try these things, I get burned though. So, I've just been sticking mostly with technology. But maybe we're due for a little rotation. Some healthy rotation. In a
question
stocks.
For you. Are you as bullish American Airlines at $11 as you were bearish at 2280 on June 8th?
No. And if I'm going in that, I'm going to have a clear stop. And the clear stop would be yesterday's low, 1071. So if you're coming in and saying, yeah, you know what? Maybe there's some life here. You can give it a shot. Stop yourself out below 1070. I wouldn't want to see it breach yesterday's low. So we're trying to see if we caught a few people. You know, it broke down again last couple of days. Maybe catch a couple of people short a little bit. Johnny come lately shorts there. Because, you know, even if you think the American Airlines, you know, isn't going to make it through all this, it's not going bankrupt tomorrow. They've got cash for a while. So there's going to be some nice bounces to play. And if you get the vaccine, there could be some bounces that hold. So I don't mind trying them here, but these would only be trades at this point in time.
Don't get stuck.
Don't let the trade turn into the investment, people. Don't let that happen.
What about Delta? Same thing. Just sleepy, you know? Look at the sleepy chart. Maybe a little seller's exhaustion.
That was a
too.
Key reversal yesterday. Those sneaky little key reversals here. Look at us pointing some stuff out. Sneaky. Sneaky market. I don't mind the Delta either. I don't mind the chart. I would stop myself out if I'm buying in here this morning and maybe the overall market pulls back, maybe gives you a shot around 25. Stop yourself out 24.38. You're risking yourself 2.5%. Maybe get a little bit of squeeze. I mean, squeezes happen.
Yeah. UAL hugging the $30 area.
If you're trading these though, I would say these are trades, and I'd be very careful not to get stuck with these because so many people, you know, will put these in and like, oh, you know, yeah, they were looking good. And then they all of a sudden puke. And then it's like, oh, well, I don't want to lose money on it. So I'm going to wait till it comes back. And then, you know, this is what happens if you go back and look at the charts, even on American Airlines or Delta back, you know, at $14 when we thought it could bounce at 15, and then it did. But then eventually came back down and took it out. And that was your key to get the hell out. So stop yourself out on these if you're trying them from the
look at
side.
This $45 level Royal Caribbean. Look what at that. 45.
And we've got, well, Royal Caribbean reported.
Oh, they did?
Or they're due to report soon. No, no, I guess they didn't report, but they're due to. When is Royal Caribbean? It's coming,
there,
isn't it?
There was a cruise ship, one of the first cruise lines to resume operations in Europe. I want to say it was in Norway, and there was an outbreak aboard the ship.
Oh. When is Royal Caribbean earnings?
Let's find out.
I believe they're coming up very soon.
RCA.
I have August the.
I've got August. 10th. Yep, before the bell. Yep.
Yeah. So you got 6 days. 6 days. So, you know, could you get a little pre-earnings, you know, pre-squeeze, maybe some hope? I think there's a potential trade here. I don't love it, but I don't hate it either. So Royal Caribbean, I mean, you got a lot of support down there. Clearly defined support, Joel. Good eye. Yep. Good eye.
What is this is Triumph, right? What's Triumph? The worst that can happen? You lose money.
Yeah, you lose my ass. Worst thing happened.
75.55. Wow, what a bounce off 19.25. I'm not even going to try and do this in my head. Plus 19.25.
Buddy's going to do it anyways.
47.40 is mid range here. We're just hugging here. I think you can hold this 45. Hold 47.50. I think you got a chance, a little rebound here in RCL. Not that I'm going on a cruise. I didn't like cruises before.
Yeah,
even
we
before
know.
COVID,
I like cruises. I've only been on one and I had a lot of fun. All right. So that's our little talk of value. And there's a lot of earnings here to talk about. And I want to start with the gamers from last night because Take Two Interactive, it's leaking here. Again, this is a technology play. This is a play on lockdown. If value starts to come into favor, don't be surprised. Remember last quarter, Take Two was up like $10 and then they pulled the rug out from under and it fell $10. So I don't know if that, and here I am talking against my book again. I own Take Two, but you know, all-time highs, the thing's up, and I'm on Fast Money last night. Holy man, they're chasing stocks. They're saying, you know, now they like Take Two. I mean, we talked about it on this show, and I've owned Take Two since $112. We know I bought it, you know, before the COVID thing started, and I've been holding through because of the gaming aspect. But if you remember when everybody was flying in American Airlines and Boeing, if you remember and go rewind to that show back, I believe, on June the 5th, and they were throwing stocks like Take Two out because we were reopening and we didn't need video games anymore. That morning, I said the stock I would be buying today if I didn't already own it was Take Two. And the stock was 126, and I said I wouldn't be surprised if it even got down at 122 or 123. It only got down to 124.86, and that was the bottom on June the 5th, and it has been straight up ever since. So if you're coming in and buying Take Two now, you are doing it backwards. Backwards. I think it's time. If I'm going to hold on to Take Two. I'm in it. I believe in this long-term story. If you were in this for a swing trade, you made yourself 30, 40% here in the last 3 months. It's not a bad trade.
All right. Take Two just had their best first quarter or fiscal first quarter in the company's history. Their EPS last quarter, $2.03 per share versus $1.59 estimate. Revenue, $996 million versus an $843 million estimate. They also came in and raised their guidance for their bookings guidance for the year, going to be at the high end of the $2 billion range. They said that net revenue was up 54%, bookings was up 136% year over year, and both those numbers beat expectations. Plus, the guidance raise is a recipe for being up in the pre-market,
firing on all six cylinders. So this is as good as it gets, though? Remember that movie, as good as it gets? Is this as good as it gets for the gamers? That's the question. You know, can they get a better environment than this? I don't know. And the guidance says they don't know either. So obviously, gaming stocks are all hot here this morning. We look at Activision Blizzard, which I did sell. I booked my profits in ATVI.
Good for you.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm early, a little bit early on it because Pachter said it was a double. I said I'd hold it to 100. But then we got up to the high from, you know, the all-time high, I believe, if we go back there. And we're right there, 84.76. We're going to take it out here this morning, so I'm already having seller's remorse on it. But I did book my profits. And I just looked at my overall gaming exposure, and I was like, I own them all. Okay, let's time to sell one. So I sold Activision Blizzard. Still own EA. Still own Take-Two. And I don't know. I'm sticking maybe with the EA and the Take-Two, but with
How often do you play those games?
I don't play video games.
Oh, okay.
Although I did play Legend of Zelda a lot as a kid, and my kids, obviously my five-year-old, we were breaking out the old Legend of Zelda there just about a week and a half ago. And I was like, I started playing it for an hour. I was like, this game is just got to be one of the best games ever made. It is so much fun. Did you play Legend of Zelda, Spencer, as a kid?
Actually, no.
No, it's your too young.
I didn't. I'm not.
Joe, I know, never played video games.
I've never
had a video game console.
I knew a girl named Zelda.
I did not. I missed that. I just missed that game. I didn't. I played other games, but I never played that game.
That's got to be. And chat, do you have my back on this? One of the best video games ever made, Legend of Zelda.
It probably is.
It's such a phenomenal game. The original NES Legend of Zelda. I started playing. The fun factor is through the roof. I know the graphics, you know, you're obviously going back, you know, it was an 8-bit system or whatever the original Nintendo was. But for that time, those graphics were blowing Atari away. I mean, Nintendo came out and it was like, wow. Legend of Zelda, the gold cartridge. Remember the gold cartridge you put it in? Gold.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it, and I've played the characters in other games, but I have never actually played that game itself. So
love that game.
Yeah, definitely, definitely one that I missed out on. So Take Two, killing it last quarter up this morning. Any stocks moving in sympathy? I think I saw ATT.
Yeah, Activision Blizzard.
Yep.
EA. Blue Mobile,
Gear,
Zynga. I'm long Zynga. Full disclosure,
because of your mom.
Well, what about HEAR? Yeah, that too.
What are you looking at? Which one?
HEAR. Yep.
Oh yeah, I know. I didn't even think about that one. Yeah, that moves up obviously with the headsets. Not as much as, but it'll move along with the gamers for sure.
That's a nice move. Yeah, that
the
has.
Gamers. It's stay at home. Nice headsets for gaming.
Yeah, for me, you know, it was Pac-Man and Asteroids and pinball. I loved pinball.
He's
except when
pin
you got the
ball
tilt
wizard.
Okay, but Take Two, yeah, you gapped up. I don't know if you're going to get another shot at that 177.80 triple D. That was the high in the after hours. Just kind of leaking. Just kind of like
I'd be scared chasing this.
Like, why would you buy it here at 173.50? I mean, now
last night on Fast Money, they had you buy it at 176.
Okay, so then it's good. It's good here.
So I don't agree. I was like sold to you guys, but I still own it, so I actually didn't sell it to those guys. I just think I'm in from 110, and I think eventually the Take Two story still goes. So, but as a trade, it might be time to book profits.
The only thing I would say is if it got near the top of yesterday's range, I call 169.19 support. That was the high from yesterday. So $4 away. So if I was forced to buy it, you know, that's where I would look at it. 169.16. S&P's hit 71. We got a little bounce here up at 75.5.
More earnings stocks here. We had a couple Cloud, Ring Central reporting. We had CyberArk this morning. There's no real like, whoa, the big guns, but there was a lot of stock. So chat, if you've got a specific stock you want us to mention or talk about a specific earnings report, let us know. Otherwise, we're going to take and just go where we want to go. So I'll go to CyberArk. I own the stock in my long-term portfolio. I put it in there back around $96, and I held it through the earnings report. Obviously, the stock's trading down off the earnings, so maybe it's not that great. Give us the details.
Yeah, it was a case of a strong quarter but light on the guidance. So Q2 adjusted EPS, 42 cents versus a 27 cent estimate, and that's a nice beat. Sales, 106 versus 101 million dollars, so beat on the top and the bottom line. In the second quarter, for the current quarter, they guided an EPS range of 19 cents to 33 cents versus a 38 cent estimate. So light on the EPS guidance for this current quarter. Sales in line, but light EPS guidance to go with a strong quarter in last go around.
A couple of people, I just want to give this update again. A couple of people complain about blurry charts. If your chart is blurry, go into the bottom right corner of your YouTube screen. You'll see a little widget. Hit settings, then hit quality. Bring it up to 720p, and you will see us crisp charts. You'll be able to see all those CyberArk levels that Joel's going to talk about right now.
112, 112, 112, 112, 12, 112 and a half, 112.98, 113, 112.53. Those are the highs that you had earlier in the month. So I'll look for that as support here today, whether if you're trying to short it and bring it in. But that is a very, very important area. Coming back on the upside here, if you're looking for resistance, people that bought it yesterday's low, not too far away, 118.31. So that's your first area of resistance, as well as your close at 119.87. if they try and do the whole reversal thing on this, a couple highs. Well, yesterday's high was 120.75, but after trading down to 116, I'd imagine people might reload at 120 ahead of that close, you know, right around that close from yesterday, which was also the high close of the move.
Solar Edge, SEDG, I believe this is making new all-time highs. I had a horrible trade on this yesterday. Yeah, it's true. I actually have some bad trades sometimes too. I had it long overnight because you know how I like to play the earnings run up, and then it got downgraded. I got out of a chunk in the pre-market and I held the other chunk, and then it opened like a 172.66 and I didn't sell the open, which was a big mistake. And I watched this thing puke on me about 10 points in about 10 minutes. And I'm like, are
what's
you
the symbol
me?
On that? I'm coming
S-E-D-G, up. SEDG, Solar Edge. I absolutely got the beats on it. I got out a half in the pre-market in the 173, 174 area. And then the other half I held into the open. And then I was trying to get out of the open. I missed the opening tick. And then before I knew it was under 170, I was like, well, how low are they going to take this thing? And I watched the thing go down to 162 bucks. And I was like, I should have sold that. Again, it's difficult when you got 25, 30 stocks and you're trying to work them all. You don't notice, you know, you just look at your P&L. You're like, what the hell is going on Solar Edge? And I knew it was downgraded. I knew it was going to get hit. I didn't think it was going to hit that bad. So I almost sold the low on this thing on the other chunk. It actually did bounce a little bit. I didn't get the exact low, but I sold in the 164 handle because I cut losers. And then I watched the rally right back up to 172, 173. And I was like, I suck.
Well, here are the numbers. First, you mentioned the downgrade yesterday. That was from JMP Securities to their version of neutral. And then their earnings were out after the bell. They beat on their EPS, beat on their sales, and gave inline sales guidance.
So, good numbers. Again, sure. I wanted to complain about my trade yesterday, but you're at all-time highs on the thing. I mean, stocks making new all-time highs. I do not short. So
yeah, you got well over 200 here in the after hours.
You got
so.
200 bucks?
Yeah,
people get so excited. These algos, they get so excited.
201.98 is where it got to, just hanging out here.
So it's already coming down. So it doesn't look nearly as bullish now when you look at that after hours chart.
No, it doesn't.
Leaky. Leaky.
In the let's see what we have as far as the range from you. Ah, we're way out of yesterday. This, you know what? I pass on this one. This one's too difficult. What's the solar
stock? Especially after my debacle yesterday in it.
What's the solar stock that got? It wasn't Citron, but it got muddied water.
ENPH. Enphase. It wasn't even Muddy Waters. It was the other one. Yeah, we both know it, and it's on the tip of our tongue.
Precious Point.
That was a buy. I knew it, too. It was a stock that I wanted for a long time, too. You can see the washout when they came out with the short report and saying they're accusing them of fraud. Down to $37.81 that day. That was the absolute bottom stock. It's been straight up since. It's up in sympathy with SEDG. Got all the losses back, plus some. I wanted to buy it. I was like, I should buy this. I couldn't bring myself to buy it because I was like, what if it's true? What if the stuff they're accusing them is true? And sometimes, you know, these short sellers know what the hell they're talking about. In this case, it looks like, at least the market thinks, it's not true. So it would have been a good buy. Buy the dip.
Where's Mr. Left been? He hasn't been.
He's in hiding, eh?
He's around.
He's in lockdown.
He's around. I've seen him on.
He's in lockdown.
I've seen him on Fox Business. He's around.
He got bullish there for a bit. Remember, he only ever had bearish calls, and he's been making.
Some no. There was that one time. That one time he made a bullish call, but it was like 3 years ago. But everyone just assumed because it was him that it was a short call. But he was actually bullish, and it just went. It was just a complete reversal. But he like didn't go out of his way to make it clear that he was long and or that he was bullish. So everyone just assumed.
Hey, Dennis, you're getting a little love here from Randy. Randy Tink. Rare to see Dennis lose. Dennis, you've given me so many really good picks over the last few months. Thanks, man. You're the best I know.
Oh, thanks, Randy. I like the nice comments. Thank you.
Just one thing. Just talking about getting caught on the wrong side. Did you see what Alarm did yesterday?
Was it alarming?
Yes.
I'm full of puns here today, in case you didn't know. Yeah. I put on my pun hat last night.
Did you see what that stock did?
Slept with it on, just to give me more puns.
Off the Google ADT deal?
They didn't like that deal.
No, look at what they did. They're like,
why didn't they pick us?
Yeah.
Holy mackerel. So is that what that was selling off of? Because Google had the deal with ADT?
Yeah. Yep.
I guess, and they're getting online. I guess that makes sense. I never even thought about that. That makes perfect sense.
Keep this in mind. Alarm reports earnings tomorrow afternoon.
Alarm. I would say I'm looking at the low from yesterday. It's a critical low for it to hold. Sometimes you get a two-day move, a little bit more flush, but 56.24 is absolutely critical that it holds that level. You know, we've seen this before. We've seen this setup before.
Yeah, you have. Yep.
Where you have all of a sudden, like Match and Facebook. And Facebook's coming out with an online dating service. And Match gets slaughtered. And then you look at it 2 months later, it's like, why didn't I buy Match on that fall? Could this be the opportunity in Alarm.com to come into that one saying, yeah, ADT is going to come in maybe and give you a little competition. But maybe it's healthy competition. And maybe it's good for both companies. Spencer Israel, I'm throwing this one to you. Would you buy the dip in ALRM?
Wow.
I would. I'm a buy the dipper, but I don't want to see any take out yesterday's low.
I mean, if I had some speculative capital, there are worse speculations to make than this.
I don't mind it. You're getting the stock
that sounds like
early June pricing. It follows our theory of a stock in an uptrend, although the trend is a little bit concerning because it was such a down day yesterday. Is the trend broken? Depends how you draw your line.
Yeah,
I always like, when the trend analysis. You know what?
I probably would. I probably would because.
I think I would too.
If they report tomorrow, they have a history.
Oh, they report tomorrow. I take it back. I don't want to buy something.
They have a history of beating estimates on both their.
No, I didn't know they report tomorrow. I'm waiting for the report. Too scared.
I mean, nothing has changed from the business. It didn't change yesterday at all. It was just the headline from the ADT Google thing. So I don't know. If I wanted to play into earnings, sure, I'd buy the dip.
I don't mind the dip. Name of the game is buy the dip. This stock has been in a clear uptrend for a long time. It was a hell of a dip yesterday and maybe overdone. I kind of think when we look back at Alarm here, 6 months from now, it's going to be higher. So, and it's like significantly higher. So I kind of like the buy the dip. I'm writing it down. I'm not going to buy it ahead of the earnings probably because I'm too spooked. I don't like taking through, putting an initial position on for the first time right before an earnings report, but I'm going to note and watch it off the earnings. And if it dips more on the earnings, maybe it gives you a shot, even low 50s, I buy. All right, I think so.
Maybe this is a good time to segue into ADT from yesterday. Dennis, do you know how many trading halts it had?
I estimated that it was going to have 21. How many did it have?
You were not even close. I think it only had like 6.
Oh, it wasn't even bad. So anyways, off that first 5 minutes that I was watching, I was like, halted again. I remember this. This is Kodak part 2. So it got up to 16.5. They pulled the rug out from under it, halted a couple times on the way down, and now it's starting to – this is one. Obviously, didn't have the run the Kodak did. Is it going to fill the gap? Not right away. Stocks do tend to fill gaps, so it's a little bit scary to be a buyer in here. But get down. What would be, Mr. Alcon, with your – fancy math, what would be a 50% pullback of just the move from yesterday? So it closed at 861 and went up to $17. That's like 9 points.
4.5.
4.5. Carry the 2. No. So 4.5. So 12-ish? 13. 1275.
Yeah,
because there's nothing in there, though.
I know.
I like it at $10. I don't know what's getting there. You're going to have some people come in here. It's not going to pull the Kodak. Kodak has filled the whole gap either, but Kodak is just a debacle in itself. I mean, ADT obviously is a company.
They're a business,
for a long time. Yeah. So $10, it looked good. 10 to 11. I don't think you're going to get that low, though.
Yeah. That like I said, that's another tough chart there.
Really tough.
Tough chart.
I guess me and Joel are out.
Tough chart Tuesday.
We do have some tough charts here today. Next.
Next. Well, right, let's go
You
back.
Want to save space earnings for
no,
our
let's
guest?
Do space. Let's talk some outer space. I love outer space. I would sign up to go on the rocket ship if I didn't get, you know, I'd probably get too
well, nervous. Dennis, you can put down a refundable deposit. You know that, right?
So I went on a helicopter once.
It's only $1,000.
And I went on a helicopter once at the tour of the Grand Canyon, and it was fun for about 10 minutes, and then I was, like, getting motion sickness from it. I don't get motion sickness on the boats, which is interesting, but on the helicopter, motion sickness. So something about being up there in the sky. And I'm fine on airplanes, too, but those are smooth. Helicopter wasn't smooth. I don't think a rocket ship's going to be smooth. I don't think my stomach can handle it, so I'm not going to put the deposit down. But I love the idea of seeing the Earth from outside the Earth.
All right, well, here we go. Fun. Virgin Galactic earnings from yesterday. EPS, they lost 30 cents per share. Not a surprise because they're not profitable. Sales, $0. Well,
they don't have any revenue.
$0, right.
Yeah, they don't have any revenue.
They don't have any revenue. So
it's hard to beat earnings when you don't have any revenue.
They also announced a proposed share offering of 20.5 million shares.
That's why we're down
in stock. That's going to hurt the stock this morning. As far as company updates, here is what they said. They have since deposits opened up in February, they have around 600 what they call future astronauts, 600 confirmed deposits as of the end of July. Richard Branson is set to go to space in Q1 of next year. They announced a new CEO, and they released some designs of what their ship will look like. But there's some pictures. But
put it in the retirement account is what I've done, and trying not to look at it. It's choking me up even thinking about it because I watched this thing go from 27 now down to 21. If I was not in this already, I'd be a buyer of the pullback. I would look where the offering price is.
Yeah, where is it? Yeah, that's
we don't have it yet. I don't think they've announced
no.
it.
No.
So when they announce that price, if it's $20, you're buying a little bit ahead of it. If it's 21, you're buying a little bit ahead of it. Because I think that is going to act like a floor. As a trade, I might even put it on for a trade if I can get it down near anywhere near that offering price. The story here cooled off a bit, but I think it'll eventually get hot again too. I think when we look at SPCE a year from now, I think it's higher. Obviously, I wouldn't be invested in it. This is one I'm trying not to look at. It's worked. It was a long time before I started making my own. It's like I said, I was in this 3-4 months and I went nowhere. And I, you know, I was taking a little bit of heat. I almost stopped myself out on it. And then it's had the ridiculous run to 27. Now it's pulling back. It's a healthy pullback. $20. I like it. I think it's a pullback to be bought.
We're polar opposites on this one. Dennis,
you
I
hate
just
space.
Yeah, I
You're
mean like
space,
you
don't like you, space though.
You wanted to go in my account and sell the L brands. I want to go into your account and I mean
sell space. Take I the mean, runny and runny says.
Take the I mean not? When I mean it just kind of like it's just like you're a conflict here, you know, like you're worried about, you know, the airlines and you're worried of, you know, the potential ramifications of COVID. I just don't think people are going to be shelling out money to go to outer space.
They got a lot of deposits already.
Yeah. Did they get some return, Spencer, or not?
They got a lot of people signed up. They got like 600 or 700 people signed up with a deposit down there.
I mean, it's a refundable deposit. So some people have gotten refunds.
That's why they can't book it as revenue.
Yeah.
It's only $1,000. Just put the money down. Get the money back.
To go to space, do you really want to? What do you pack? Like, what do you take to wear in space? You know,
what do you eat in outer space?
Yeah.
What are they eating up there? Are they eating peanut butter sandwiches? Are they eating like.
I don't think you're up there long enough to really enjoy a meal.
Yeah.
It sounds fun. I honestly just think, and the SpaceX play isn't going to go away. And obviously, this gets love. We've seen before when SpaceX gets love. And, you know, they have a deal with NASA to do some stuff. This is just not a one. This isn't going to just be a one-trick pony. We take people out of space. This is a lot of other potential profits. And I believe in the founder here, too. Branson, awesome businessman. I believe in the story. So this is a story stock. And this isn't one that you take all your money and you bet it all on space. This is a speculative capital still, too. It's absolutely right. Speculative capital only, I would say. So you take a little portion. You know, like of my portfolio, it's probably like 1% of my portfolio.
That's good to hear. I want to get our guest thoughts on this. Andrew Channon, he's the co-founder and CEO of Procure AM. You've got the UFO space ETF. Andrew, good morning. Have you put your deposit down $1,000 to go to space with Richard Branson?
I've not yet, but I've certainly been having conversations and thinking about it.
Well, what's to think about?
I have a wife and family, and you know.
Doesn't want the rocket to not come back to Earth.
there's a lot going on, in the world right now, and things are busy over here, and we've been certainly investing a lot of our company's money into other things, certainly around promotion for products and new business ventures. So we have a lot of stuff going on, but I'm certainly interested in it.
All right. So, Andrew, what was your reaction or thoughts on the space report from yesterday, or the Virgin Galactic report from yesterday?
Sure. So there's a lot to digest. So we saw early in the morning, there were plenty of updates as far as new designs and things like that, an MOU with Rolls-Royce, a lot of talk about not actually their space tourism business, but actually the hypersonic point-to-point travel. Then we saw the earnings come out right after the close, and surprising, as you all mentioned, that we saw a loss because they're a pre-revenue company, so that should have been expected by anyone investing in there. But then, sure enough, shortly after that announcement, so we saw this stock offering, and so it was a little surprising to see it come after so much news. I think I never am happy to see a lot of really positive, exciting stuff, and then that followed up immediately after with a stock offering. But clearly they see appetite for investing in it, and if they know that this is a long-term business that they're building out and it's going to require capital, it certainly makes a ton of sense that they're looking to use this opportunity when they have demand to raise more capital. So it probably may be a savvy thing for the company to have done that.
So, Andrew, we had you on our show back in March, I want to say. And since then, SpaceX has sent to space, and we have come back down a pair of astronauts, NASA's first the successful flight of U.S. astronauts in like 45 years or something like that. So space has been in the news in the past few months, but has anything changed as far as the investment thesis in space over the past few months?
I think it has. And I think the investment thesis has actually changed in one where we're seeing an increased need for spending on space. And I think it's coming from actually an area that many people weren't talking about as much. So if you look back at Morgan Stanley and Bank of America and other large financial institutions that have started space research groups. Morgan Stanley believed over $1 trillion by 2040, and Bank of America by 2045 was talking about closer to $2.7 trillion industry for space. A large catalyst for that was the belief that the big driver was going to be broadband internet and from the communication side. But what we're seeing in recent days and months and weeks the military and defense of space is becoming very front of mind. And I don't think as many people were expecting the space race to heat up on the military and defense side as quickly as we're hearing. But certainly we're hearing more of a breakdown in geopolitical relationships between the U.S. and not just our adversaries, but even some of our allies in the last several months. And, it kind of brings to the front page, if the U.S. is going to be building out and dedicating more of our budget to things like NASA and Space Force and Space Command, what we do in the U.S. doesn't happen in a vacuum. And although we want to always be the leader in every military frontier, China, Russia, and others have aspirations as well. And one of these surprisingly nearer term aspirations is China's building out of a permanent lunar colony. And that is something that could have an impact for decades, if not longer to come, for whoever is able to successfully actually start building out permanent civilizations on the moon.
So, Andrew, if we can put Virgin Galactic aside for a second, that's obviously a company in very early days here. If someone doesn't have the stomach to invest in a company with zero revenue, what are some alternatives for them? What are some other ways, individual companies I'm talking about, other stocks they can buy with exposure? Maybe like what are the safest ways to get exposure to space via individual stocks?
So, you know, I think it's difficult to choose individual stocks, and you know, you're going to have volatility with any investment and company sure. risk and competition. So, you know, I would never say that, you know, investing in any stock is a safe stock, let alone space or not. But, you know, a lot of these companies, you know, people hear space and they think, you know, far off sci-fi, you know, in 200 years from now, what will this look like? And that's not, you know, what everyone's investment horizon is, right? So, you know, let's look at, you know, the types of companies that we have out there. Well, in the space industry, you have some of the diversified aerospace and defense names. So names that people might not say, okay, that's a pure play space name, but these are companies that I'm familiar with. And there you have companies like Lockheed and Northrop. And you know, some of these, you know, Boeing and Airbus, these are major players in the space industry, but it's not really driving the majority of their revenue. So you can look at those types of companies and say, okay, this gives me some space exposure, but it also gives you some other, you know, diversification. I think, you know, one neat thing about Lockheed is they have, you know, their Skunk Works, you know, division, which is ones that are working on, you know, very high level, top secret, in many cases, military types of projects. And, you know, you might not know that, you know, Skunk Works was working on something until, you know, decades later, possibly. So, you know, there's a lot going on. You know, you have the United Launch Alliance, which is, you know, a partnership between Boeing and Lockheed, which sent up the most recent Mars rover launch for NASA just the other week. So, you know, these are companies that are doing things in space. Maybe because they're diversified, you don't have as much exposure to space, but at the same time, you might not have as much volatility due to space businesses. Then you look at, you know, some of the other maybe more pure play names, and you start getting into the satellite and communications companies. So, you know, in UFO, we have something like called Orbcomm, and Orbcomm is a company that helps with, you know, logistics. If you want to track where your assets are, where your packages are, you know, where even your personnel may be. You know, people and companies are relying on things like, you know, GPS, which is a satellite-based system, and most people aren't really aware of it. Just yesterday, we were hearing about VMware partnering with Dish Network, another satellite company that people maybe are more familiar with for Dish Network and their TV-based applications. But VMware is looking to work now with Dish as being their 5G partner. So, you know, there's a lot of ways that space is actually affecting many different companies and industries, but people don't realize the importance that space plays. So, you know, you have things like 5G, blockchain, cloud computing, Internet of Things, and connected devices, and people get really excited about these industries, but they don't realize that satellite players are actually a major part of that infrastructure backbone. So we kind of look at some of these satellite names as the digital data toll operators for the digital data superhighway. And so, you know, I think people need to start looking at how they view space from a, you know, a very different perspective, because space is essential to so many different industries. You know, our smartphones don't work without you know, GPS. Our favorite apps don't work, like Uber and others, without space-based systems and technologies. And, you know, this is a really interesting infrastructure play in many cases from some of these other satellite names as well.
Andrew, let me hop in here just for 1 second. Look at this. This is total technical here, but look at 34 in Dish here, folks. We are trading up 4 cents in the pre-market. You're bumping your head. Are they going to clear that seller out at 34 today? Yesterday's high, 34.08. You got another high, 33.95, 34.07 here. So, man, that if you want something clean and a setup right there, break out a day, you know, regardless of what the market does today, I'll be keeping an eye on Dish here over 34 bucks. I'm sorry, Andrew, go ahead.
No, you know, I think Dish is an example that, you know, a lot of people looked at it as, you know, oh, this is a TV play. And you realize that, you know, because of the infrastructure that they've already laid out, you know, there's other ways that you can work with these companies. And, you know, NASA itself has basically come out saying, you know, we no longer need to build, operate, and own every single piece of technology that we do. We want to work with, you know, the commercial side, and we've got goals as well. If they could help us build, you know, what they're doing to help us achieve those goals, we'd be more happy, you know, to contract them or license things out. And, you know, this is kind of how we're seeing companies that have the infrastructure in place today In many cases that could, they could be leaders for a long time if they, you know, continue doing what they're doing. And it can be very difficult for newcomers to enter, the realm of space. So, you know, positioning is a big thing.
Can you talk about some of the other top components in the index?
Yeah. So, Virgin Galactic is actually currently the top weighting in UFO. But, you know, there's companies like Maxar, which, for years was more of a Canadian-focused company, but they get government contracts. They help, build satellites for commercial enterprises as well. They've also spun off some assets. They've been able to, successfully build robotic arms for spacecrafts as well that can help with, fixing things that break down in outer space. So we have, space tourism exposure, we have satellite manufacturing and operation exposure. There's a really interesting company that we've actually recently added during the last fund reconstitution back in June. It's a company that many people won't be familiar with. It's actually based out of Italy. It's Avio, A-V-I-O. And they're probably, very big, but relatively unknown, rocket company. And they help a lot of, the ESA, European nations sending up, some of their satellites into orbit for whether it's, military or communications purposes. And, in the U.S., you really hear so much about SpaceX and the United Launch Alliance. But, you realize, too, that, there's other, launch companies from around the world. And Avio is one of these that, hasn't gotten much attention. And that's, kind of one of the reasons that, we like the idea of, investing in space with diversification.
Andrew, just Dennis Dick here. I just wanted to ask you just a general question. When you're looking at, potential companies to invest in the ETF, what is like the procedure? How do you go about, finding these ideas? Because some of these companies, I've never heard of, but, they sound like, very interesting, thought and interesting ideas. Where do you get the idea? Where do you find the companies to invest in?
Yeah, so that's actually work that's done by the index provider. So the S Network Space Index was a partnership between S Network and Space Investment Services. And the individual that runs that, his name is Michael Walter Range. He's a former director from the Space Foundation. And actually kind of building out an index of publicly investable companies was a project that he was working on while at the Space Foundation. And when that became not a top priority for them, he was given the opportunity to actually take his years of research and knowledge and try to commercialize this through his own means. And we were fortunate enough to partner with them. So he's someone that brings years and years of dedication and experience in the space business, understanding space business, space technology, space policy. And so having someone like that with a very strong background in the space industry, he's even, building out a space venture capital, investment fund. And so, someone that's constantly looking at companies from around the world of all different sizes with his unique perspective, something that we're, thrilled to kind of have the index powered by. So they and S Network, who have built many indexes for all different types of thematic products, they're scanning the world and looking at investable markets and on major exchanges to find not just the companies that are there today, but also looking at companies that are saying, all right, you have some space business, but maybe not enough to be included in the fund. There's two tranches in UFO for companies. You have pure play, which are driving over 50% of their revenues from space. Then you have the more diversified aerospace and defense names that get less than 50% of their revenues from space-related businesses and activities. And, if companies start, spinning off their space assets, they could be reduced or removed from the index. Whereas companies start, building up or focusing more on pure play space, they could see larger weightings as well in the future.
Andrew, real quick before we let you go, we've observed anecdotally on our show that when you get some sort of event like a SpaceX launch, for example, like it could serve as like a near-term catalyst for Virgin Galactic. Have you observed anything with regards to fund flows increasing around specific space events like a SpaceX launch, or is that not a thing?
No, we've witnessed that. The more space is covered, kind of the more exciting the event, the more people realize that space is open for business. Space is an investment. You can get different types of exposure. And that exposure sometimes leads to more attention for UFO and our space ETF. So, you know, in many cases, you know, the fund could be a beneficiary of the increased pickup in media coverage. But, you know, there are more and more by the day stories coming out about space, you know, space for good and space for, you know, long-term military and defense build out. So, you know, I think, you know, having a diversified fund allows you to have companies that could benefit or be harmed in some cases from different space news. And, you know, I think it brings more attention to why people might want to play space with a diversified kind of lens.
Andrew Chatton is the co-founder and CEO of Procure AM, the Procure Space ETF. Ticker is UFO. Andrew, thank you so much for the time today.
Thanks for having me.
All right, a lot I want to get to here. Let's just do BLNK real fast. We talked about EV stocks on the PM show yesterday. This one did not really rally, but it is rallying this morning. They announced a deal with Cushman and Wakefield to deploy their charging stations. BLNK up big in the past few minutes, sort of on the heels of a day yesterday where we saw Nikola, Workhorse, Plug Power, NIO all have huge rallies when the story got hot.
I couldn't have been more wrong yesterday because I thought the story would stay cool for a while and it got hot that day. So like I was looking at the Workhorse, I was like, well, it's just been hanging out. It's not going. It's not going. It's not going. Well, it went yesterday. So they turned around and they started buying the EV stocks yesterday. And you got to admit when you're wrong. And I thought the story would cool off for a bit, but boom, just like that, you know, the story starts to get hot again. So then you think, okay, well, what other potential plays are out there, you know, that you might look at? And, you know, this is obviously one that you can look at as well. And people are looking here this morning and buying it. I don't like chasing stocks again. You know, some people make money chasing. I don't. I don't follow the Blink story at all either. And it's a stock that's up from $2 up to $12 now. I feel like I don't know how to manage the risk on this one now. I mean, I guess you could say I'll stop myself under yesterday's low, which is just under 10 bucks, but it's tough to chase.
A little bit concerning about this chart here is it did even sniff that 3-day high. I mean, we hit 13, maybe we will, but it went right to 13 bucks, and that 3-day high is way up there at 14.58. So that kind of tells me is like people that got jammed between 13 and 14.58 are trying to mitigate some losses here. We've already backed 75 cents off that high, 70 cents. So for this one, for me to get really bullish, we got to get up. Test that at least at 14.58. Parallel, if you want to lean on 10 bucks, that's a level to lean on. Friday's low, 10.02. Yesterday's low, 9.96. And that was perfect. You had the high in the area that you broke out from on the 29th. Old resistance, new support with a double bottom there. So keep an eye, 10 bucks, great support level there in Blink. Doubt you'll see it today.
All right. Some news here just breaking on Kodak. Yeah. We got...
Yep.
Oh, you can give it, Spencer.
Yep, we've got Senator Elizabeth Warren, who has asked the SEC to investigate a potential insider trading probe in the Kodak, whatever you want to call it, Kodak coronavirus drug development situation.
I mean, we've talked about this for a while. Obviously, there was some insider buys ahead of that deal as well, whether, you know, they were saying those were just, you know, normal, you know, my part of my buying on a regular basis. Elizabeth Warren wants to look closer here at this. I mean, a lot of people made a lot of money on this. The stock went from $2 to $60 because the government got involved. And obviously it's come back down since, and a lot of people have now lost a lot of money. So
there you go.
I think you got to look into it. I agree with Senator Warren. Make sure everything's clean.
Yeah,
so I agree.
You were saying $5 in 6 months. Do you want to amend that prediction?
No. It's 14
make
now.
It sooner.
I think it's. I said I think it's going under. When this was $15 or $16, I don't know where it tops out, but I think it's under $5 by the end of the year.
I just wanted to see if you were going to move it up. At all.
I think it's going to be under $5 by the end of the year. Sorry to the longs. I think the story here got hot for a day. I don't think it's getting back there. But I've been wrong before. Stuff can happen. Maybe there'll be another government contract that'll pop it up. But barring another, you know, massive government contract coming their way. Eastman Kodak is still Eastman Kodak.
All right. A bunch of tickers from the chat. We'll get to a few of them and we'll cover the rest on our afternoon show. Let's do a check here. They had earnings yesterday after the close. CHGG Online Education. is hot, and the proof is in the numbers. Q2 EPS 37 cents versus a 32 cent estimate. Sales of $153 versus $136 million. So beat and a beat in the second quarter. Q3 sales guidance, the guided a range of $140 to $145 million.
Tough stock to trade. I said how I had the bad trade in SEDG. Everything I lost in SEDG, I made in Chegg yesterday because Chegg gapped up $5 ahead of the report. I had them both long because we know I like to buy stocks ahead of the reports. I talk about that all the time. SEDG, I got dinged on the downgrade. But on Chegg, I did not get dinged on anything. And it was gapping. I think I bought at the close. So I actually paid the closing price of $80.97 on Friday. And then I sold it in the pre-market. Oh, I didn't even sell at the open. I think I sold it like 85.70 in the pre-market. So I made almost 5 points on that, just on that, you know, overnight trade. So that one was a good one. So everything I lost in SEDG, I did make back in Chegg yesterday, which was good. So sometimes those trades work. Sometimes you get dinged on news or a headline or something. But more often than not, I feel like there's that positive bias going into,
especially in this stock.
Yeah, it's a storied stock, hot. People are going to be talking about it ahead of the report. It's enough to catapult it up. So I had a big day yesterday. So a lot of the gains were priced in yesterday. It was a good report, but you know, the money was made from buying it Friday. And if you're buying it at the close and taking it through the report, you get a decent report and maybe you got out on that quick after hours pop.
90.75 it got to.
Yeah, I got over 90, and that's, you know, so maybe you snuck out there. I think the story is still here. If it pulled back to $80, maybe you take another shot, but again, you know, it's a stock that's up from 35 in April, so don't kid yourself. It's been running for a while. The profit taking could be more substantial than you think if it decides to start taking profits.
One number, that close, 85.93. That's it. It's resistance. To me, stock's got to get above there to get into yesterday's range. As long as it stays in the red here, what's yesterday's low? I don't even like that gap up there. Yesterday's low comes in at 83.23 and opens up to 81.03 there. So there's your gap. So there's a look at it. I, on a day like this, after a stock makes a new all-time high, a new all-time closing high, blasts in the pre-market and then goes red, I think your institutions are looking at that closing price and saying, hey, that might not be a bad sale.
Let's do a couple tickers from the chats because we've always been very busy with guests and earnings here, but let's take 5 minutes, do a few tickers from the chat. I'm going to grab the last one I just saw with Zoom. Somebody's saying, Zoom, is this story still in play? Is this still a hot story? Yesterday chart looked very good. A nice breakout there. I would say yes. I would say bulls are still completely in control. If I was long Zoom, 237 would be my stop, but I know it's 30 points down. It's like, oh, I don't want to lose that much, but we really got lots of support down there in that 230 area. And this is a story, valuation's insane. So you can't think about like long-term investing in this, I think is out there. I don't believe that Zoom is worth what it is. So I don't want to stick this in my long-term portfolio at all. But as a trade on pullbacks, it looks good still. I would stop myself out under 237 with my target being $300.
I'm looking at this one a little bit differently than you, Triple D. I'm looking at this 271 area. You got the 271.10 yesterday, backed off to close at 268, and then I see another high at 271.35. It went just under that. So I see the 240 support. I see 240 is major support. I see 271 is major resistance. It's been in that trading range going back to mid-July. So nearing the top of the trading range, I'm a little bit more of a seller, 270.71 than looking. And I know you're not looking to buy this at 267, but just seems to me a little bit top of the range after making that all-time high.
Let's pound out 3 minutes, 30 seconds each. I'll just go.
No, I've got about 20.
Grab them fast.
Okay.
One number, Joel, when you're going.
One number? You get one number, too.
Give us a good number.
All right. Someone asked Dennis if you're still waiting on 45 and Intel, because you did say that a few days ago.
Yes.
Okay. Great.
Joel, that's to you. That's how you do a stock in 1 second.
I didn't have the Intel chart up. Give me a chance. I don't think it's going to get to 45.
All right. You'd be a buyer here?
Yep.
Joel likes it here. I like it at 45.
What about Wayfair? Their report this week, Wayfair.
Price has been insane. The move's been insane. I think everything's baked into this. I think this could be one of those sell on news type of event, even though if they blow it away. But if stock's hot, I'm not going to be short.
I've been bearish since 180.
Well, yeah, we've been wrong on this one.
All right, we'll do one more from.
Do three more. Go.
All right, go Square. Square.
Ooh, Square.
I sold it at $65 when I thought that there's no retailers that are open right now back during COVID. So I was wrong. I wanted to hold Square forever. So I sold Square. I sold Facebook. I sold the other. I don't know what else I sold. Anything I sold back there in April is wrong. So I haven't got a chance to get back in. I may never get a chance to get back in. Stock's awesome.
Old time closing high from yesterday. I just give you that number. You are above it. You'll easily trade below it today. But my number for the day, 134.80. That was your old time closing high from yesterday.
All right. We'll do one more. Activision Blizzard, they report today. Big group of earnings after the close. ATVI is one of them.
You got the problem of Take-Two now raising the bar farther for Activision Blizzard. So that's concerning. They're going to have to really blow it out for it to continue to go higher. They might do it. And they did it, I believe, last quarter. And they're probably going to beat. They're going to beat. It's going to be a good number. Is it going to be good enough? That's the question. Like I said, I booked my profits in ATVI last week. I wish I wouldn't have now that I see it's breaking out further. Again, I thought it was topping out in the old area. I was wrong. It's breaking out to new highs. I'd be a buyer of pullbacks, but I'm not buying it ahead of the earnings.
Let's see here. Trading up, wow, $2. I will look at the top of yesterday's range, which is 85.05 is support. And there's no resistance. This is a new, this ain't
keep an eye on Take Two.
Yeah, new all time high, huh? Triple D.
I know.
This came all the way back.
I thought it was gonna fail at the old all time high. That's why I sold it. And now it's taking out. I should just, you know, eat it and rebuy it, but I'm not gonna do that.
All right, big earnings day, like I said, Beyond Meat, Activision Blizzard, Disney, Twilio, Enphase, Nikola, Wynn, Paycom, ooh, Upwork, Glu Mobile, all after the close today.
Nikola.
For earnings. Joel and I will be on our PM show at 3:40 p.m. Eastern time to preview a bunch of those reports. I want to also remind everyone, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. We appreciate that as always. Thanks to our guests.
Can I hit the like button? I've never hit the like
you
button.
You can hit before. The like button. You should hit
I just
the
like liked button. Our own show.
Great.
I am one of those I see it even blue. I've never hit the like button before.
I see your like. It just came through just now. So thanks.
I liked it.
I've been running down all these tickers in the chats. We will cover as many of them as we can at the 3:40 show. So I've got a list of about 30 here. So if we didn't get to yours, don't fret. We'll cover it at 3:40 or at least try to. Please remember all the information from our show meant to be used as informational purposes and not for investing or trading advice. Everyone, have a great rest of your Tuesday. Good luck and be safe.